thanks for listening to the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast. Sponsored by FanDuel.com. FanDuel.com, the leader in single-day fantasy sports contests.
Roto Grinders presents the Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast. Bringing you up to the minute industry news.
Time for me to tell you about the biggest tournament in the history of daily fantasy sports.
Interviews from the biggest names in the industry.
The one and only Kondia. Head Chopper joins us now to talk about this weekend in daily fantasy football. Now on the podcast, Napster Man.
And game analysis to save you time and help you build your bankroll.
Both the salary and the matchup are just too good. If you are not playing him in your head-to-head game, you are just going to lose.
Here is your host, the one and only, Dan Bock.
Hey everybody, welcome. Another edition of the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix and an interview edition here of the podcast. And I figured when somebody wins four consecutive qualifiers on any site, it's certainly worthwhile to bring them on the show. The hottest player in daily fantasy sports right now. We're excited to have Jay Beep I'm a Jeep Rainer here with us on the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix. Jay, welcome back to the podcast, and what an unbelievable run you've been on. You've now qualified for five seats over on DraftKings for their MLB final, and you did something that I didn't think was possible. Four straight Q wins. Got to be feeling pretty good this baseball season, to say the very least.
Yeah, well, Dan, thanks for having me on, and yeah, you know, I've been playing qualifiers my whole life, or not my whole life, but at least the last 5 years. And I know how tough it is to win these things and how lucky you have to be to win. So, yeah, I'm just, like, really blessed and just blown away by I can't even – look, I went to bed last night thinking that I was going to wake up and it was all a dream sort of thing. So, because it doesn't even feel real to me, just because I know all the struggles that it takes to win these things and – it feels absurd. Probably even more absurd to me too, because I got to figure out the pulse of how good I am, and I'm definitely not worthy for something this crazy.
Well, I wouldn't say that, because you've been at it for a long time. You've mentioned it 5 years, and you know, you make no bones about it. You are somebody who has really mastered the art of team stacking. Does it bother you at all when people look at that and say stacking doesn't take skill? Stacking, it's not really fantasy. What's your reaction to the critics out there who, you know, might downplay what you have really become a master of?
Damn, I appreciate you asking that. The honest truth is, it doesn't really bother me. It's kind of one of those things where, you know, the fact that they're even thinking about me and that I'm kind of, you know, that thing's on their radar is kind of, you know, it makes me feel special, sort of. Regarding, though, the negativity towards it, because it is really tough making a lot of teams. And, you know, I think I saw something on the Roto Grinders thread the other day where it was, you know, someone said they were trying to make multiple teams and they made 10 teams. And, you know, it was really stressful. It was a lot of work just managing those 10 teams, and someone else chimed in with the same and in the quarter arcade. And it really is a lot of work. So I guess to answer the question, I actually really appreciate seeing people, you know, try it for themselves and, before knocking it. But that said, if they do knock it, it's totally a fair opinion, because it's a game. Every day people win and lose a lot of money. It's not fun if you're losing money and feeling like, you know, you're losing money without, you know what I mean. It's not, I can appreciate people also, you know, taking that stance too, basically.
Yeah, and I think that people who are really coming into the industry now are also neglecting to look back at the history of you as a player. You've had success in this game on a lot of fronts, more than just stacking baseball teams. You've done it in NFL. You've done it in baseball, in particular over on Draft Street, I know, before, you know, when there were, you know, more restrictions and stacking. So, you know, you've proven your mettle as a daily fantasy player way beyond, you know, just picking a lineup and stacking it up. Now, I do want to get on this, though, for a minute and kind of pick your brain just a little bit in terms of the way you stack. I mean, you don't have to give away all your secrets, but, I mean, how much do you think about what other people are doing, what teams they're going to stack when you select your own? Or is that not anything that crosses your mind?
Yeah, so, yeah, obviously don't want to give away my secret sauce, but I will say that definitely crosses my mind. You know, it's one of those same things like poker where, you know, if you're only thinking about your hand, that's not gonna help you win. But you want to kind of open up your mind, think about how your opponents might be playing too, and then once you start doing that, then you're kind of on that next level of playing. So. So I definitely take into consideration that, but, you know, there's a lot of times where I'll go, I think everyone's going to do this today, and then they show, you know, the lineup's lock, and I was really wrong today. So, I think about it, but I'm not always right.
Do you believe in hot streaks as a daily fantasy player? And cold streaks, because clearly you've won 4 in a row. Most people, myself included, would consider that a hot streak. Are you a believer in that?
I mean, definitely there's lots of luck in fantasy sports. I think I've been fortunate to have had a fairly consistent run, but, you know, I know of people who have had really bad runs, and actually, in fairness, I've actually had, like, you know, I've had losing months of fantasy sports where you just play every day thinking that you're working hard, thinking you're making good decisions, and it can be really mentally tough sometimes. But, so I guess to answer the question, there definitely is a lot of fantasy luck in fantasy sports.
Well, let's talk about when you go through those tough times. I mean, you play, obviously, very high volume by pretty much everyone's standards, not named maybe Max Dullery or Condia or CSU Ram. But for most of us average Joes, you play a lot of volume. And like you mentioned, you've gone through tough times. How do you handle that? I mean, obviously, I know you've got a poker background, a gaming background. We'll talk about that in a moment. But, you know, even for us on a smaller level, you know, I know we run into frustrations and try not to tilt or, you know, use too much of our bankroll to, you know, chase losses or something like that. So how do you handle it? Do you ever take time off? What's the way that you cope with a bad run?
Yeah, well, that's a great question. I will say it's quite interesting because even for, you know, someone like Max and CSU Ram, versus, you know, someone who's playing small stakes, you know, a loss feels like a loss no matter how much it is. Like, even if you're only playing, like, you know, $10 a day or something and you lose, it still feels pretty, you know, pretty crap sort of thing because, you know, a loss feels like a loss, a win feels like a win, and it kind of feels like a check mark or an X. So basically, I think the biggest thing is kind of adjusting to it. So, you know, if you can handle it at the small stakes, you know, and making sure you're making good decisions, feeling good about what you're doing, being able to handle loss by knowing that, you know, well, I did something good or, oh, well, I learned a lesson today. If you can take something away from that loss at the small stakes, that'll help you for once you're playing bigger stakes and then, you know, you lose 10,000 or 20,000 a day. You're not going, ah, my life is ruined. You're going, well, you know, I had the same thing happen to me when I bet $10. I'm even better now. You know, you're more adjusted to, as long as you did what you thought was right, you bet what you thought was the right amount. you're going to have bad days, but that's going to help you lick your wounds and move on.
Sort of thing. Definitely trust your process. We're talking to Jay Rayner. He is Beep, I'm a Jeep. Four straight Qs over there on DraftKings. Unbelievable. Still can't get over that. You know, you're somebody who I've known now for a couple of years and such a fun guy to hang out with at these live events. But you're very unique in the sense of, you even said it yourself, you're rare in that you're not even a big sports fan. Has that changed at all? I mean, I know early on when we first spoke, you know, I don't even watch the games. You know, four straight Q wins. Did you follow this at all? Or is this a situation where, you know, you still make your teams and then call it a day?
Yeah, Dan, there's an interesting philosophy I have, which is familiar. I could be wrong, but this is something I firmly believe. It's familiarity, so being familiar with something, you know, being surrounded by it, that will make you more interested in it. And when you're more interested in it, you're going to work harder at it. And when you work harder at it, inevitably, you're going to have a little more success at it. So with me, just, you know, every day being around sports, thinking about sports, reading about sports, that's really, you know, just even just that atmosphere has made me more interested in sports. And it has then, you know, circular led to me working harder and fortunately having a little more success. So the answer is, yeah, I also feel like I have to watch the games a little more now that I'm betting a little more money. So I'd say I still watch it a little differently than most casual fans. Probably the biggest difference between me in 2015 and me in 2012 is that now I can pronounce all the players' names, or at least a lot better than I probably used to be able to.
Are you sweating the games though? Are you following closely and having it come down to the final couple at bats, or not as much?
I think so. I think you know, I try to turn off my brain for as long as I can when it's going on. You know, sometimes you need to watch it. You know, as an example, you know, Al Smizzle had an interesting sweat last year with football where he, you know, he had to choose which running back to play, and he saw in order to win this giant football tournament, and, you know, he could either play the running back that, you know, he found out what the other running backs were that the guys were playing and then said, oh, well, I'll play a different running back, and that Frank Gore or whatever it was, and that way Frank Gore, you know, has a good game, I'll pass these guys. So paying attention to that and, you know, being able to, you know, make decisions can be advantageous. Not always. And I'd say there's fairly, not, you know, most of the time you're just kind of hanging out and
sure,
looking at it. But, yeah, for me personally though, you know, I had dinner with my cousin last night. Tried to just not think about the games because it can be. You can only work so hard, and you know, you don't want to be that person who's tossing and turning in their sleep and thinking, oh, actually, Dan, this is a good answer. Yesterday, I went to go see, or not yesterday, last week, I went to go see a movie with a couple friends, and I can't remember what I said, but I was trying to think of the name of the movie, and all I was thinking was, like, first base, second base, home run. And I remember just talking with my friend that the name of the movie was first base, home run, because I couldn't think of – my head was just thinking about baseball. So, so it's good to take a break every so often.
No, obviously, DraftKings, you're maxed out. You know, you've got your five seats at the table, which – you know, you could agree, gives you a huge advantage, especially on that site with, you know, stacking being a very viable and, you know, profitable strategy, certainly for you. So it's a perfect match. So you've got lots of options, you know, when the day comes that you're playing for $1 million. Where are you in terms of chasing, say, FanDuel, for example? Is this something that you're going to go after? And because I'm not going to lie, I haven't been playing a ton of Qs over there. And I know you go by whoop-de-doo over on that site. Are you going to go and try and qualify on that live final as well? Or are you going to just stick over there at DraftKings? What's the plan?
Yeah, great question. So actually, I contacted FanDuel at the when would it have been? Probably a few months ago, and just asked if I could change my name to Beep on Majeet to kind of synergize everything. I changed it on Roto Grinders to from Whoop-De-Doo to Beep on Majeet just to sort of streamline my brand, which isn't really you know, meaningful at the moment, but might turn to something someday. But yeah, so I won a seat actually to the Playboy qualifier the other night. I actually invited my cousins to come out with me. Found out later my dad actually wanted to go, so I was like, oh shoot, I should have just invited my dad. But will I play on FanDuel? Depends. They reached out to me the other day, you know, just to see if I was interested in playing more on their site. So I'm not really sure what the future holds for me, but you know, it's definitely, you know, I prefer monotasking a site, just going full out on one, and sort of, you know, it's so hard when you have to make a last minute change.
Sure.
And you have to do it across five different sites. Mm-hmm. I've lost a lot of money in the past having that problem. So to answer the question, you'll probably see me a little bit on FanDuel, but, unless anything meaningful happens, I'll probably just stick around DraftKings.
Sure, sure, absolutely. We're talking with Jay Rayner, obviously on a heater in Daily Fantasy. Now, let's give everybody your background, because again, it's been a few years since we've had you on the podcast, and I'd say we've got a few more people in the industry than we used to. So not everybody kind of knows your history in that. I mean, is it true that you were like the Canadian board game champion? Is that an accurate statement?
Yeah, I mean it sounds a little more embellished than it should be, but I think in 2012 I competed in the Canadian Board Game Championships, which is just like, you know, 32 people qualify around Canada. You know, it's a day at Gen Con where they just play, or Fan Expo in Toronto where they you know, I'll play the winner of those heats, or the, you know, best performer based on a rating system, wins the trophy. And I won the trophy in 2012. So yeah, and I've always played a lot of continue.
Yeah, well, the question is, what games are you playing? Are you playing Chutes and Ladders? Are you playing Clue? Are you playing Battleship? What exactly is that? Because it's obviously, from my perspective, I have no clue what, you know, how many different games you play. But I think it's interesting because all of us, you know, obviously have some sort of love for board games at one point in time in our life. Is Jenga on the list? I mean, that's one, right?
Yeah, no, I wish it was Jenga. It's basically, well, let's see, it's more European style games, so things like Settlers of Catan, which I actually played the North American championships for Settlers of Catan in 2013, but more European style games, so, you know, Roll Through the Ages, Carcassonne, Power Grid. So things that are, you know, games that might take an hour, but have a little more strategy than something like Chutes and Ladders and Clue. It's kind of interesting, Dan. I've heard Tony Robbins, who's like a motivational speaker, say that success leaves clues. And I always remember thinking about that. And, you know, I used to listen to him back, you know, in high school and university when I was trying to, you know, kind of figure out what I wanted to do with my life, but wasn't really sure. I actually won my high school Scrabble, Euchre, and Chess championships when I was younger, but I never really thought much of it. I never really thought, like, oh, this is something I'm good at. It was more just, these are my hobbies. And then when I lived with Timex, one day our power went out, and so we just played Monopoly all day. We created this form of bidding Monopoly. And I remember this is kind of when I was doing fantasy sports. I wasn't doing super great at it. I think I was a little depressed because, you know, Mike was winning so much money at poker every day. And I was just kind of, you know, trying to figure out this stupid sports game and wasn't quite there yet. So we played this game of bidding Monopoly. And I think I beat Mike maybe 12 out of 14 games or something. And Mike's like you know, he's really like, he's one of the best poker players in the world. I think he won, he got third in Canada in grade six for math. So really sharp guy. And I remember I beat him 12 out of 14 times and was like, I got an edge against him. I'm really good. And I think that was kind of a big confidence boost for me. And, you know, later went on to win the Canadian Board Game Championships, Catan. And, you know, and now I'm playing another form of competitive gaming, fantasy sports at a high level. So, yeah, so success leaves clues, and it's good to, I guess, just work hard and find what you're interested in, find what you've been good at. And even if you're not good at it, just work hard and something will come.
One thing that we have certainly, you know, mutual admiration for, and that's the show Survivor. You know, I saw you tweet about it. I wish I took you up on that little wager you were asking for with the Boston kid this past season. Man, had that one. You know, we both really love the game. What is it about it that intrigues you so much?
Yeah, so I think I started watching Survivor. I obviously started when it was early on, and I stopped watching for a bit. Then probably first year university, I rewatched all the seasons and started watching it heavily from there on. Really just the strategy part is the most exciting part for me. So things like, you know, what's the optimal, cause there's so many layers to it. You know, it's not a one dimensional game. It's not like, you know, it's not like a Connect Four.
Yeah.
So really, and you know, they edit the show, these reality shows, quite a bit too. So the other thing I kind of like doing is I kind of like using my intuition to kind of get a sense of what's going on. So for instance, I guess not a lot of your viewers listen to watch Survivor, so I won't get into too many details. But, you know, sometimes someone will have an odd reaction and I'll go, huh, why did they react that way? And then I'll think about it and I'll be like, oh, maybe, you know, maybe something happened here or maybe something happened there. And I kind of begin to be my own storyteller where I tell myself, you know, this story. You know, I come up with this conclusion, for instance, that Boston Rodney is going to win Survivor when, you know, he goes out for us. I'd say just the levels of strategy and entertainment makes that and really all reality TV really exciting for me.
Have you ever thought about or have you put a tape together to try and get on the show? Because I think you'd be interesting. I think you've got a fun personality, an interesting background. Have you ever tried?
Oh, thanks, Dan. I applied for Big Brother, which would have been, I'm so glad I didn't get on because I would have been so bad on Big Brother. But I applied for Big Brother probably in 2013. I went to a live audition, didn't get past in the first round. So I was kind of like, maybe this just isn't for me. But then the show came out called King of the Nerds. And I think it came out and I just started watching it this year. I think it came out maybe last year and they have three seasons so far. And I don't want to spoil anything, but someone from, yeah, actually I won't spoil anything, but basically it's like the best reality show I've ever watched. Just a bunch of nerds compete at challenges and the winner gets 100K. So, but it just looks so fun. So I am applying for King of the Nerds if they're renewed for a fourth season, and I'm going to apply really hard. And if you guys send me some Roto-Grinders shirts and I'm allowed to wear them, I'll even wear the Roto-Grinders shirts while I'm kicking around the house.
I love it. I love it. Hopefully you get on that. But I'd love to see you on Survivor. I'd love to go. But here's my problem. You know, I think I'm a nice guy. Everybody says, oh, you seem so friendly, Dan. You know, cordial. You know, just a nice guy overall. But when I kind of don't have two things, I kind of morph into a semi-evil person. And that's one, food, and B, air conditioning. And I wouldn't have either of those two things out there. So I'm almost scared to know what I would become if I actually was on the show. But I'm with you. I think all the different components of that show make it arguably one of the best shows every single year, and the fact that it's held up this long and they keep on making little changes to it is terrific. But I'm going to throw one out there for you. Here we go. If you had the opportunity to go on Survivor, play the game, but you had to give up your five seats on DraftKings, would you do it?
Would I do it? Oh my gosh, that is a really tough question. I guess it speaks to how much I want to go on a show like Survivor that I'm actually even considering this, because it's like you know, the equity value of being on Survivor is 1 in 16 with a million up top, so it's like, you know, whatever, 70K, and I'd be giving up 250K worth of seats.
I just love you broke it down from that perspective. That just shows you, real quick, everybody, the mindset of somebody like Jay breaking down equity versus of plane versus equity of seats. I absolutely love it. But back to the question at hand.
No, I appreciate that. So I guess the fact that I'm willing to, that, like, you know, I'm considering, you know, losing 150,000 or over that to be on Survivor probably speaks to how much I'd want to be on Survivor. That said, I don't know if I could, you know, you can do a lot with 150,000. You can go on, like, you know, the most amazing trip ever where you actually have food and air conditioning. I don't think I could do it, but, it would still be something that I'd have to consider.
Here, I'll tell you why you need to do it, Jay, because you'll probably qualify the next year for 5 more seats, and you'll be able to make it back the following year. And you'll only have that one chance to make that trade for Survivor to go on it. So that's why
I appreciate it. Yeah, that would, that's a very, very, compelling argument.
Okay. Last thing. Have you picked out the wardrobe yet for the live final out in Vegas on DraftKings? Because nobody quite has the t-shirt game of one J Beep, I'm a Jeep Rainer. So have you thought about it yet? Do you have anything that you're going to break out?
Yeah. Probably one thing people don't realize about me is I'm a bit of a businessman. I actually contacted a t-shirt company for sponsorship, and I think there's a chance I'll get it. I don't want to plug this yet just because nothing has gone through yet, and that wouldn't be fair to either of us. But I've been working hard. I think it would be really cool to be sponsored by a t-shirt company because I love cool t-shirts So regarding that, I actually just opened up my, it's funny you asked that. I actually just got a package in the mail, and I have about, here, I'm just going over to it. I have about 10 really cool t-shirts and 3 really cool sweaters. So, one of them I will almost certainly be wearing all of them, during the trip, but, we'll see what happens.
I love it. Well, you know what? He's one of the very best players out there, one of the nicest guys you will ever meet. So make sure if you do qualify for DraftKings or any other event you're in, you go up and say hi to him. He's Jay Beep, I'm a Jeep Rainer. Jay, thanks so much for your time. Continued success in DFS, and we'll talk to you again down the road, pal.
Dan, appreciate you having me on. Hi, thank you, everyone, for all the kind words and support. I said it on my Twitter that I felt really special over last week. And that was like an understatement. My heart goes out to everyone who's been doing this for so long, because it really is a tough journey. And everyone's just been so gracious and kind. And I know I don't deserve this kind of luck. So thank you, everyone, for being so nice.
Oh, geez, such a nice guy. But don't underestimate your fine skill acumen, my man. You are as good as they come. But that's going to do it for our podcast today. Definitely find us on iTunes and Stitcher. Download this. We're going to bring you a lot more player interviews. Obviously, our daily podcast Monday through Friday. And we thank you all for listening. I'm Dan Bach for RotoGrinders.com.
Thanks for listening to the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast. Don't miss an episode by subscribing to it on iTunes and Stitcher. And for up to the minute DFS news, please follow us on Twitter @RotoGrinders.